So happy Veterans Day, a little early, but to all the veterans out there. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about our moody disposition, which a lot of times causes anger issues in our life. So we're going to talk a little bit about anger issues today as well. So understanding, let's read a verse of scripture first. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15 verse 18, and let me read you this verse of scripture, and then we'll go on a little bit, and then we're going to go talk about Jonah a little bit, because Jonah had a lot of anger issues, and Jonah was pretty moody in his life with the Lord. But in Proverbs chapter 15 verse 18, it says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife," meaning conflict. So do you know where the old saying came from, that when you see that, they always like to stir the pot? That's what it's talking about here. A wrathful man stirreth up strife or conflict, but the one that is slow to the anger appeaseth. And what does that word mean, appeaseth? It means he calms or comforts the conflict that's going on around us. So two different types of people it's talking about. One that encourages conflict, one that tries to comfort or do away with the conflict in our life. So understanding how that we should be slow to anger is what the Bible says, is a most valuable lesson in our life in Christ. So that means in order to have this, there must be some kind of self-control. And this self-control means, and here we all fall short of this, I'm sure, the self-control means that we have the ability to consider the things that we're going to say, to consider the actions that we're going to do before they impact somebody else's life. Did you get that? We have that ability to do that. Even though a lot of times we what? Speak before we think, that's right. But we have the ability to do that in our life. So this is a valuable characteristic that God has given unto us as believers through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And every day when we interact with people, this is why God gives us this ability, is because we're going to interact with all kinds of personalities, and some of them are going to be our own. Amen?
Everybody just sitting back there looking at me.
So as this happens in our life, this means that chances are very good that most days in our life, we're going to find ourselves in one of these challenging situations, and it's going to test how we are going to express ourselves, not just before our own self, not just before others, but also before God. So God wants us, that's why he tries to head this off ahead of time. God wants us to have a positive effect on people. He wants everything that we do to be an example of his word and his deeds. Everything that we do in our life. So that means we're living our life in a manner that is pleasing unto God, and it has a positive effect on every situation that takes place, those around us. So we find ourselves now living in a position that we can help others. Instead of joining in, instead of making the situation worse, we can help make the situation better. We can help bring joy back into a life that is disgruntled, that is angry, that is impatient, whatever the case may be. So this can only be achieved not just in our life, but in the lives of others, as we are walking in the closeness of our relationship with God and we are allowing His characteristics to develop within us. And as His characteristics develop within us, then they begin to shine forth unto others. So let me read you what Paul said over in the book of Romans, and he gets right to the point here in this in chapter 12 in the book of Romans. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The first thing that he says, therefore, thou art what? Inexcusable. Meaning there are sometimes there is just no excuse for our actions. None whatsoever. So he says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that thou judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, that thou judgest that you're doing the same thing. When we are judging other people, when we are looking at other people, when we are doing, when we have these anger issues in our life, when our mood swings are more than other people can bear, we're doing to them the same things that we do ourselves. So God says there's no excuse for this happening in our life. So he said, but ye are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We are to let God take care of these situations in our life. Anything that takes place where we're to stop, we're to think before we speak, We're to allow God to take care of the things that are taking place or happening in our life. So, does God allow us to experience from time to time in our life? Does He allow us to experience the consequences of our own actions? Sure He does. That's right. He certainly does. And the reason that He does this is because God is not content in allowing us to remain in our life of self-destruction. God does not want to see that happen in our life. So for this reason, when these things happen in our life, God's going to allow us to experience consequences for the things that we're doing that are not pleasing unto Him. So His desire is that all of mankind would come to repentance, that all of mankind would one day go on to live eternally with Him. So He does not have anger like we do. All right? God, even though in the Bible you'll read there's times that God has anger, His anger is not like our anger. It's not a worldly emotion of anger. So we express these worldly emotional feelings. God's anger expresses what? It expresses love, joy, peace, compassion. There will be justice, there will be wrath, there will be condemnation, but it's all to point us in the right direction. God wants us going in the right direction. So God is slow to anger, which means that He gives all of us many, many choices. Many, many. You learned this in your Sunday school lesson this morning, didn't you? How many choices do we know that He gave Pharaoh? We know of 10 and many more. So God gives us many chances to change our worldly attitudes and our worldly behavior, because God has given us the ability to be in unity with Him. And this is what He expects from us in our life and with others within the body of Christ. Now, let's jump back into Proverbs for just a moment. Proverbs, this time, chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Here's what He said. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. So I would ask if any of you in here have great understanding, but I'd also have to ask if you thought back over yesterday and this morning, how many times did you lose your temper or get upset over the least little thing that has happened in your life? So He says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty, meaning he that is swift, or what's the old, flies off the handle, so to speak, pretty fast, or he that is swift, then his spirit exalteth folly. And when it's talking about his spirit, he's talking about our own worldly, selfish spirit that we have within us. So we have to learn as believers, we got to learn to mature in our faith. The only way we can mature in our faith is what? Through wisdom, through knowledge, through understanding, the understanding that comes from God. So in order to be somebody that is slow to wrath, then he says we got to learn understanding. And it's got to be great understanding, because this is how we learn to control our worldly emotions. So how many can control their worldly emotions? Don't raise your hand. How many of us can control our worldly emotions? Not I don't see no hands, so that means not very many, even though I told you not to raise them. So we're not very good at controlling our worldly emotions. So if we're not, then we're not very good at restraining the foolish, childish acts that we experience that are within us. And this is due to a lack of spiritual maturity in our life. Amen? So God wants us to grow spiritually in our life. So as we begin to understand a little bit what this spiritual self-control is all about, then we're going to learn the meaning of practicing patience and humility and love and joy and compassion and these things that God, these things that does not motivate self-ambition, but they create within us the likeness of the body of Christ. So we should always be grateful for God's grace and His mercy in our life when He helps us to restrain those things in our life that we show forth that He does not want us to show forth in our life. Because it's only through God's patience. If we talk about us and God here in this room today, He's the only one that has patience. The rest of us do not have patience. That's right. Zero patience. So it's through God's patience, and we're thankful God has patience, because this is what has delayed His coming. His coming and taking the church out, because He has patience and He wants to see as many people as possible come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So today we are thankful for the patience of God. You've heard of the patience of Job. We're talking about the patience of God. Now, Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, let's go over there and we're going to read down through a few verses. And what we want to do, we're going to see Jonah had mood swings. He joyful, happy, then angry, and so we want to see how often. And we're going to find out that it says what Jonah was angry about, but when all actuality, he was angry with God. So in our life in Christ, how often do we get angry with God? Now don't say, oh, I would never get angry with God, because when we get angry at the things that are going on in our life that God has allowed to happen, then we're angry with God. So how often do we get angry with God, and how are we going to overcome that in our life in Christ? So in Jonah chapter 4, starting with verse 1, I might read down through all these verses, I might not, but in Jonah chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it said, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly," and he was what? He was very angry. Okay. "And he prayed unto the Lord." Now, when you're angry, should you be praying unto the Lord? That could go either way, couldn't it? We should be praying to the Lord, but maybe not the way Jonah was praying unto the Lord. So he said, "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled into Tarshish," and we see what that got him, "for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee." Now this is how mad Jonah was, and this is how much self-pity he had in him. So we know that this anger was a worldly emotion. He said, "I pray, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Have we ever said that to the Lord? Maybe not in so many words, but I'll bet you we've, in some way we have, from time to time. And he said, "The Lord said, doest thou well to be angry?" Or why are you angry? What is the problem? And so Jonah went out of the city. He sat on the east side of the city, and there he made him a booth or a covering. He sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So, and he said, the Lord God prepared a gourd. He made it to come up over Jonah that it might shadow him. Then you go on down through. He said, Jonah was happy now. He was just as happy as can be, because now he had shade, and lo and behold, it said God prepared what? A worm. It smote the cord, and now here we are again. It came to pass when the sun did arise and God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat upon him. You go down into verse 9, and he said, God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, what? Even unto death. See, self-pity just took over again. And now Jonah's upset. Jonah's angry. What am I going to do? I was happy yesterday. I'm mad today. See how our mood swings affect us in our life in Christ. And that is because a lot of times we only value ourselves, our own reputation, our own actions, the things that we're going to do, and we're not valuing God's purpose and plan. God had a purpose for bringing up the gourd. God had a purpose for preparing the worm to smite the gourd, to take it away. God has a purpose for everything in our life, but when we're only thinking about us, we never see the importance of the purpose and plan of God. So we have to learn to see that in our life. We have to learn to see that everything that God allows, He does it through compassion. And He wanted Jonah to have compassion for the people that were going to die yet in their sins. He wants us to have compassion on the sinners of this world. Somebody at some time had compassion for you or I when we were still yet a sinner. And they had enough compassion that they probably prayed constantly that we would get over our mood swings, that we would get over our anger issues, that we would get over the worldly emotions that were controlling our life, and that we would come to see that we needed to be obedient to the Word of God in order to accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, because this is the only place that will ever find the righteousness of God, and that is through His Word. And we can't do it if we are full of hatred and contempt toward those around us. Those that are trying to show us love and compassion. So now God has to learn to teach us about these misplaced values that we have in our life. God has to learn to teach us about those things. So in the book of Matthew chapter 15... let's go to Matthew chapter 15. I've read this verse many, many times. You can find it first back in Isaiah. But Matthew chapter 15 verse 8, here's what he said. The people draweth nigh unto me with what? Their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We got to learn to quit going through the motions of being believers. I'd say being good Christian people, but I don't like that word. Of being believers. We got to quit going through the motions of doing that. God said, if you say you have a sincere heart, I want to see the sincerity of your heart. Don't just tell me about it. Let me see it. And that's what people out here in the world look at today. You claim to have a sincere heart, then show me the sincerity of that heart. Show me that the truth of my word is established within us. Don't give me some commitment. We lack commitment in our life in Christ. The first little thing that happens in our life, oh Lord, I can't go to church today. Oh Lord, I can't go visit today. Oh Lord, I don't feel... I'm going to church, but I just don't feel like doing anything when I get there. We lack commitment. God wants us to show Him the sincerity that He has placed within our heart. So our outward appearance then has to show godly obedience. repentance. That's what it's all about. So that we inwardly were harboring rebellion against God. No, I have never said that I've been angry with God. If you're harboring rebellion against God, you're showing God that you're angry with Him. Okay? And that's okay, because God knows the true you. He wants to see the true you. He wants to fix the true you, but it takes commitment from us. So our hearts are divided. We speak the righteousness of the Word of God, but we're still full of contentment and hatred. So God has to work with us. So to be a true believer, God has to get us where we are right with Him. Everything that is in our life, we need to be glorifying God. And we need to be glorifying it through our obedience to His Word, not just with some worldly trill. I go to church faithfully every Sunday. Yeah, and you'll go to hell faithfully if you're not saved. Okay? So we have worldly traditions aren't going to get us to heaven. All of these things, it takes motivation, and it takes righteous motivation. And if we don't, then we're going to suffer the consequences thereof. In 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He said, "Beloved," I love this, because when you talk to people out here in the world today, any little thing that happens, it's just a surprise. Oh, I'm so surprised that God said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." I just don't know why God lets things happen to me like this in my life. Now, He's telling you. Why are you surprised? If you would look at yourself and the things that we're doing, you wouldn't be surprised at the things that are happening in your life. And again, if you would understand that the things that are happening are there to help us to grow in our faith and mature spiritually in our life, we would be excited about these things that are happening in our life. But He says, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But He said, don't pay attention. He said, rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you might be glad also with exceedingly joy. God wants us, instead of feeling in our life that we are being treated unfairly, that our suffering is unnecessary. And you know, some of our suffering probably is unnecessary because we chose to go through it ourselves. So it is unnecessary. But we feel that when these things happen, we're going to fail, okay? As believers, we are going to fail. And when we fall, we shouldn't give up on our faith. But that's the first thing that we do. We give up on our faith. But when we do this, then we begin to blame God for the things that are happening in our life. Now, you might not directly blame Him, but somehow He's getting blamed. So God wants us, we should be asking God, how these things that are taking place in my life, show me why. Let me understand why. Even though we probably already know, we have blinded ourselves to the truth, so we need God to show us. We need God to reveal to us these things that are going on in our life. So when we sit around and blame God for things, you think it's going to get better? No, it's not going to get any better. So we've got to quit pointing the finger, and we should be fighting back. But we can only fight back through our spiritual strength in the Lord. So we have to allow God, we have to take enough time in our life to allow God to speak to us through His Word. Lord, I just don't have time to sit down and study my Bible today. And He's probably saying, well, I guess you don't have time for me to talk to you then. Because that's how He communicates to us most of the time in our life. If you want to fight back against the things that are happening in your life, then you need to fight back by prayer, by study, by meditating on the Word of God, and putting the things of the world aside. Missing out on one day of reading, of studying, of prayer, of learning what God wants to show us in our life, missing out on one day, you wouldn't believe the lack of misunderstanding now that we have on our life just by missing out on one day. And yet sometimes we don't pick our Bible up and read it till what, Saturday night? You might read your Sunday school lesson before you come to church. Maybe not even that. I don't know. We should study every day. This is how we communicate with God. God does not want us to have a lack of understanding. God does not want us to miss out on anything that He has in store for us in our life. So, and that is because He wants us to be able to work through the situations and circumstances that are taking place within our life. In the book of Psalm, chapter 1, the very first chapter, the very first two verses, and here's what he said. Blessed is the man that walketh not, okay, don't leave that little word out, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of the sinners. I'm putting blessed in. Blessed is the man that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But blessed is the man that delights in the law, or the Word of God, and in His Word doth he meditate day and night. How important is it? If you're not doing one, you're doing the other. Whenever you're not in the Word of God, whenever you're not delighting in the Word of God, whenever you're not meditating in the Word of God, chances are you're walking with the ungodly. Chances are you're standing with the sinners. Chances are you're sitting with the scornful people of the earth, trying to find, oh, that president, he's no good. Oh, that governor, he's no good. Them people down the road, they're no good. See, if you were in the Word of God, you wouldn't be doing that. We'd be praying for one another. And we'd be praying for salvation to take place around us before God's immediate return. Our obedience to the Word of God is a necessity. It's a necessity in our life in Christ. And if we're not obedient, then we're not able to see the things that God wants us to see. So it leaves us powerless. As believers now, we're powerless. We have no strength against the things that Satan brings up against us. So it leaves us unaware of the promises that God has made available to us. You know how many churches that are out there today that are unaware of the promises of the Word of God? Because they never study it. They never meditate on it. They never get into it to see what God wants them to see. They only listen to what they're told, and then they go about their life as just as nothing has ever happened. We need the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to see how we're supposed to operate in our life according to the Word of God, according to what God's eternal plan is for us. And that is, we must learn. Jonah had to learn this. He had to learn that it's time to put the saving grace of somebody else above your own worldly, pitiful needs. And we don't do that. You want to see people come to church? Put them ahead of you. Put them ahead of you in your prayer life. Put them ahead of you when you're studying the Bible. So that the Holy Spirit, we can see it working in the lives of the people around us. In the book of Philippians. So what's the answer to all this? Let's go to the book of Philippians. We're going to see the answer. The answer to our anger issues. How many of you have anger issues? Don't raise your hand. anger issues in Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 3. Now, I want you to mark this, because after a while, when you're going down the road and you get behind somebody, if you're like me, you get behind somebody that's going 5 miles an hour, you have anger issues. Hey, Roger. I'm not saying nothing, Gigi. So, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Here's what he says. Let nothing be done through what? Strife, meaning conflict, or vainglory, which means arrogance, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Okay? Look not every man on what he has, what you have. Don't look not every man on his own things, but look every man on the things of others. Now, we're not talking about looking and being envious of what somebody else has or what your neighbor has. But when he says look every man on the things of others, he's spiritually, we're to pray for one another so that we're not just, oh Lord, bless me. Oh Lord, do this for me. Oh Lord. But we're praying for others. We're praying for the Holy Spirit to touch the lives of those around us. So he said, in order to do this, he said, let this mind be in you. Not your own, because our thinking is way off. And he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The same way that Christ thinks. This is how we're supposed to be thinking. He said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he gives you four things here. We've talked about these four things before. And he said the first thing that he done when Christ came to this earth, he made sure that his reputation didn't mean anything. He said he made himself a no reputation. All right, gone. He said he took upon him the form of a servant, which is what we're supposed to be. He was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he said he had to do what? He had to humble himself, and then he had to become obedient. So in these are all things that we have to work through or towards in our life. And he said, when we do, then over in verse 10, he says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should be doing what? Not wagging, but every tongue should be confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So, if when we opened our mouth and our tongue began to work, it should be confessing the Lord. It should be glorifying God. It shouldn't be about our next door neighbor or this person or that person or whoever we seem to not, these anger issues that we have. They should go away. They need to go away. And they will go away if we would confess the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means we have to learn to treat others with humility, without involving our own self-righteousness. Now, so I'm talking about both believers and non-believers alike, because the Bible talks about this, and we have a tendency sometimes to treat other believers better than we treat non-believers. And that, again, is not pleasing unto God. So, as we are an example to the believer, it's to what? It's for the perfecting of the saints. It's so that we're lifting one another up, so that we can help to show each other what truly the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. And as we're being an example to the non-believer, it's not to point things out. It's not to be judgmental. It's not to show our anger towards them for the things that we think that we're doing that aren't pleasing unto God. But it's to let them know what the pathway to salvation is all about. to show them the pathway unto righteousness or the pathway to salvation. No, we are not to live according to our old self-serving nature, because when we do, we haven't resolved any of our anger issues. So we're not to live according to that, but we're to live accordingly to make sure that Christ is revealed within us. We want everybody around us, whether they're a believer or a non-believer, to see the saving grace of Jesus Christ through us. Not to wonder how good of a Christian you are or not. In order to do that, we have to get rid of this worldly emotion of anger and strife, or this conflict of stirring the pot all the time. So I'm going to leave you with this one thing, and I'm going to give it to you out of the book of James, chapter 1. I want you to mark these verses in your Bible. Chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And here's what he says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. You think sometimes when Paul and James wrote their letters and they always addressed their beloved brethren, do you think sometimes they might have had to grit their teeth when they done that? When we address people sometimes, we do what? Well, we grit our teeth. But he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, here's what he said. Let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And why? Why is that? Because he says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So I want you to remember that. The next time you're moody, the next time these anger issues start to pop up in your life, I want you to stop and tell yourself, the wrath of man, there is no righteousness of God in that. Don't go forward with it in your life, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we're truly thankful that you allow us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, Lord, to show others what the joy of your salvation is truly all about. And we would just pray this day, Heavenly Father, that when these other worldly emotions start to creep up within us, Heavenly Father, that we would stop and think about the things that we learn, Lord, through the obedience to your word, Heavenly Father. And that we would allow your Holy Spirit to work within us in such a way that we would see your divine characteristics and not the characteristics of our old nature that's creeping forth. We just pray this day, Lord, that as we live for you and we let our light shine for you, that we're always doing those things, Heavenly Father, that are pleasing unto you. Those things, Lord, that glorify you. And we just pray this day, Lord, that we continue to allow your Spirit to work within us, Heavenly Father, so that your joy will be our strength, Heavenly Father. And Lord, that the light of your salvation might shine forth through each and every one of us, Lord. We just pray that you continue to be with us, Lord, through the days of our lives. Help us, Lord, to always follow after your purpose and your plan for our life. We pray for forgiveness, Lord, for those things in our life that are not pleasing unto thee. You would help us, Lord, not to forget, to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember Bible study Thursday evening, and we're talking about what, Gigi? Okay, the Church of Pergamos, we're talking about the sword, the Word of God, or the sharp two-edged sword, and then we're going to go start talking about the place where Satan lives. Now, I hope it ain't in any of us, but...
also, too, on the 17th,
Okay, the 17th at what time?
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. will be the senior dinner at Big Isaac Community Church.
Yeah, until next spring.
So it'll be the last one till spring?
Yes.
Okay, so go and enjoy. They have a good turnout, a lot of good fellowship. So, all right. Anything else? If not, let's stand. We'll praise the Lord three times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for joining in on the phone.